Thanks for coming out, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Yay. I don't like the way this suit feels on my body, on my figure. I look like a circa 1986 rugby coach and a Republican, so hopefully I didn't insult a political party. Junior Stopka, everybody. Junior Stopka was playing Galaga a scant 5 minutes ago, and he said, "Take that, Mayor Daley!" So that's going to be the theme of the evening. The theme of the evening is "Take that, Mayor Daley!" And I'm going to tell you about these wonderful guests we have. We have Maddie Robinson from the great radio show / podcast Film Spotting. You should clap. It's really good. We have great stand-up comedians. We have Tia Ayers and we have Drew Michael, a male and a female. One's not happy. One's miserable. It's going to be so funny. And we have the music from Sanctified Grumblers. It's very, very good. It's very American. Perfect for this wonderful holiday we have. If it's kind of a holiday, the banks have off. It counts. Do you still have to pay for parking, though? Yes? It's not really a holiday. I take it back. Esmeralda's the beautiful co-host. Jeremy's the beautiful piano player. Jeremy, will we play some beautiful piano for a little bit? We'll sit down and start this show. Please stick around, everybody. That was bluesy, some might say. Did you enjoy that, Esmeralda?
It was good walking to your...
That was good walking music.
Table.
Thanks, buddy.
Music.
All right, so the last time I wore a suit like this one and I sat at this table, I would unbutton my suit coat. But all the photos, you could see my gut. Mm-hmm. So I'm debating on whether I should be comfortable and take the suit coat off or just keep it on as a giant... an apron for my gut.
I was going to say, you look a little like... what's his face from the Talking Heads? He's wearing the big suit.
Yeah, but David Byrne is like skinny and rides bikes.
I know, but you're just wearing
walk slowly and take the
suit.
Bus. Yeah, but that was by choice and mine is out of thrift. I need to find a good tailor. We do a radio show, podcast, whatever you'd like to call it. And we talk about current events, some might say. Esmeralda found this god-awful article in Men's Health about things that I and other males should know about females.
Secrets.
So what should I know about you and your mysterious kind?
All right, these are the words of whoever wrote it. So I'm doing them word for word, so this is not me interpreting. Always tell me I look hot.
Do you mean like physically hot or temperature-wise? Like you might have a fever.
I would say both.
Okay, continue.
I'll never tell you my true number.
Okay, what number? Weight. How many men I've been with? How many ladies I've been with?
Any
of them. How many STDs? How many kids? Sooner or later, these numbers are going to be revealed.
I'm just thinking ladies aren't supposed to say numbers at all, ever.
So you're just saying no mathematicians, no scientists.
No.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's fine with me. More liberal arts educated.
There you go. Okay. Words. Of course you're the best lover I've ever had. These speak for themselves.
There's no good... I'm assuming I'm the worst lover anyone's ever had.
Well, that's nice of you.
That way...
you can only go up, right?
Exactly. It's much safer. Who would ask that? That's never good.
People who read Men's Health.
Yeah. Those people have abs, too, so...
Yeah, they actually probably don't have to ask that question.
Or they just beat it out of someone.
All right. My favorite. I don't withhold sex to punish you. Sometimes I just need to be left alone. But at the same time, not left alone? And no, I can't explain that. That was the whole thing. If this is a lady writing this, we all just sound like insane.
Have you ever
compliments and shallow?
Have you ever wanted to have intercourse and withheld it?
No.
Okay, you're not crazy then. That's good.
Because you're punishing yourself and them.
Hopefully, unless you're with the worst lover you've ever had, which brings us to our previous point. What is there any more crazy shit I should know or not know about women? Because this is just awful.
Oh, wait, this is my favorite. If you cheat, I may not break up with you, but you'll wish I had. Crazy.
Crazy with a K. Crazy with like a backward Z.
It's cray cray. That's what it is.
What's cray cray? Is that a type of Cajun food?
Yes.
Have you had Cajun food recently? It's been like a year.
No.
And now with the oil spill, I'm kind of worried like, oh man, gumbo's going to be expensive. There
you
goes
know,
my healthy choice lunch for February.
You can eat chicken.
It's not the same.
They don't grow chickens down there.
Where's down there?
Oil.
Well, they might grow them in the oil for the gumbo. It's a sauce. It's a flavoring ingredient.
They should just, you know, embrace it and make sauces out of it.
You sound very Republican right now.
Gotta do something with it.
Yeah. All right. That's weird. All right. So We all know that most of you are here are from Maddie Robinson. Maddie, you ready to come up? All right, Jeremy Tromberg is going to play some wonderful piano. Please clap for Merle. On his way to the stage, ladies and gentlemen, Maddie Robinson.
Keep clapping.
When you do your show, which is on NPR, which makes this podcast 10 times more legit, do you have to hold a microphone with a dent in it?
God, no.
Okay.
I am really slumming it tonight.
Thanks for slumming it, buddy. I appreciate it. I was relatively shocked the first time I went to the Film Spotting website because you don't have blanket acne, you're not overweight. I met your wonderful girlfriend, wife. I don't know the label, friend. I don't. You have a friend.
Friend.
You
supporter,
have a.
Yeah.
You have a friend. That alone makes you not the typical film critic. Is that the normal reaction, or are you like incognito and like you're just having like a really good skin suit on right now?
Right.
And you're hiding a lot of fat.
No, look, I'm gorgeous. I'll own that.
You are.
The
yeah.
Thing is, I do get nervous because we do these meetups. We do these fan meetups.
Yeah, you just had one in L.A., right?
Of course. Yeah, and I always assume that every single one, that everybody that listens to the show not only lives in their mom's basement, but they all look like the comic book guy. But it's funny, when they all show up, they're all just normal, regular, wonderful people. So.
Do you have something against people that do look like the comic book guy? I don't want to paint you into a corner, but that's a lot of hesitation for a pretty simple question. All right, Maddie.
You're going to make me lose listeners.
No, tonight. I'm going to make you gain listeners.
I'm slumming it here tonight. I'm going to lose like about half my audience now with the comic book guy.
And that's going to like, what's a, like, how do you say times 20 in a smarter way? I can't, whatever. Film Spotting.
Yeah.
You weren't part of the original cast, you might say, but
no.
You knew everybody from the beginning. How did you get involved in it?
Adam actually started it about, my co-host, Adam Kempinar, who I wish was here. He started this about 5 years ago.
Okay.
With his friend Sam Holgren, who I was a roommate with actually in here in Chicago before I went to graduate school. I was an actor in New York and I was doing that and wasn't really enjoying it much at all, and Sam wanted to leave the show, but they wanted the show to continue, so I basically auditioned for the show. At that point it had joined Chicago Public Radio and it just started as a podcast originally, so that's when I came on.
Are you glad you're doing this?
I love it. I absolutely love it, yeah.
What did you go to grad school for?
Acting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does having knowledge of acting help you critique films? Or is it like a musician should never write about music because it's too insider?
No, I think it helps. I mean, I think the most difficult thing for me is that as an actor, it's very hard sometimes to talk about my peers in a very critical way. So I try and separate that as much as possible. But I think it definitely helps because... it helps me for my criticism, because what the hell else am I going to talk about? So I can reflect on what they're doing in terms of the craft and bringing it in terms of acting. So.
Are you more likely to enjoy a film if the performance is great, even though the story is very weak? Are you able to overlook that because you understand how hard it is?
No. I mean, that's sort of the Sophie's choice. I mean, it's a very, very hard question to answer. There are lots of performances that I love that are in bad movies, but... I guess I love a great story and can tolerate bad performances. Not Twilight bad, but, you know...
I've never seen Twilight. Mm. You've had to see Twilight.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. Just saw the God, what's the one called? Eclipse?
Yes.
Saw that today.
Is it about space?
Huh? God, I wish it was. I have no idea what it's about. There was vampires and werewolves, and they're both in love with the most vapid, uninteresting woman I've ever met.
Okay. Vapid, uninteresting as a character or all of her work?
No, you know what? I was having this discussion with my friend, who I came with me tonight.
I'm just saying you're not like a goon. You got friends. That's all I'm sorry about before.
Like a hockey goon? Like,
yes!
Like a men head?
Speaking of hockey goons, have you seen... You've seen Slapshot.
Of course.
Could you agree that story doesn't exist? It's just an excuse to show cool fights?
Oh, yeah. But it's actually based on the Jamestown Jets. It's actually based on a real hockey team. And the Carlson brothers, the Hansen brothers, are actually the Carlson brothers.
Yeah, and now they're between periods at Wolves games.
Right.
Yeah.
Milk it.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Is this too insider for everybody else, you think?
Oh, probably.
Oh, this is great.
That's what our show's all
about. That's why
too.
I like it
yeah,
so
I know,
much.
I know.
Speaking of being insider, I will not listen to your show on the radio. I'll wait until I get the podcast of it. Mm-hmm. And I'll also wait until I've seen at least one of the films.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm being dumb? Am I missing out on something?
No, I don't think you're being dumb. We actually get that a lot. We try to say that we're pretty spoiler-free. And that we're not going to sort of taint your experience of it. And we will... Yeah, I just said taint. Again, I'm slumming it. Yeah, now I lost completely my train of thought. Maybe so.
I'm not going to say that word. Mm. I've gotten in trouble before, sir.
Yeah. No. We're very cognizant of not spoiling things. But we also... We don't tell you to go see a movie. We never, ever say,
yeah.
You know, thumbs up or thumbs down or any of that... You know, the four-star kind of stuff.
It's more like, for a written form, it's more like The Onion's reviews.
Yeah.
It's a very long piece.
Not funny at all, and it's just...
Well, the AV Club isn't necessarily funny.
Yeah,
it's good criticism.
Scott Tobias, who's been on our show a lot, he's great. It's two guys at a bar talking about a film.
Okay.
You know, and some people really eat it up. Some people, they want, like, the 4 minutes, should I go pay my money and see it or not?
Speaking of seeing the films with people, do you prefer to see them with a bunch of critics in the screener room on Lake Street, or do you prefer a giant crowd like today at Twilight Eclipse,
mm-hmm.
or do you prefer DVDs? Do you prefer Netflix?
Oh, I like to go... You know, we do the critic screenings, they're fine, and everybody just thinks they're more important than they are, and they're all just being really quiet.
Could you name me one name that will possibly get you in trouble but make my podcast that much more successful?
Yeah. You want a Farrah Fawcett kind of interview, right, to launch this thing?
No, because I don't have nearly enough drugs to afford a Farrah Fawcett interview. And she's dead.
That's
okay?
Terrible. Shut.
We just passed her one-year anniversary. Now let's give some respect for a woman that helped no one ever, okay? So not with critics is what you're saying. You don't like the critics.
No, I don't. Because they're just so... I mean, critics think they're the most important people in the world.
Who are the most important people in the world?
Oh, astronauts, I think.
Oh, I like astronauts.
Yeah.
Did you see the astronaut animated film starring The Rock? It was about 3 months
Planet
ago.
Planet 51.
Yeah.
No.
No, you missed out on that gem?
Missed that one.
Speaking of films that are gems... If I tell you that Freddy Got Fingered is one of my favorite films, will you leave the stage or will you still talk to me?
I have never seen Freddy Got Fingered.
Okay. So. It got 4 stars in the New York Times review. You know this.
Okay.
Okay. Ebert gave it 0 stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something. Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, do something. The thing.
Oh, he did too much. It was great.
Yeah. But the thing I hate more than anything is a film that just lays there that isn't trying to do anything. If you're not pissing half the audience off, you're not doing the right thing. And that's what film spotting is about, too.
So we're doing the right thing, right?
Exactly.
Is it okay if we...
Can I apologize to the Fawcett Estate at this point?
Yeah, whatever. You mean Mr. Ryan O'Neill?
Just in case I want to have him on for, like, you know, the Love Story retrospective or something.
You're funny and smart.
Mm. And gorgeous.
Audio, sir, audio. Hey, that's a great plug to get people to come out to the live show. You're missing this beautiful mug. All right. Are you ashamed of any film that you lavish with praise, like, a year later?
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, we always go back. But I'm never really ashamed. But also consider my favorite movie of all time is Major League, which is a baseball comedy.
But that's a good movie.
Exactly. But I'm not, you know, it's not Citizen Kane. And, of course, everyone has their lists of the movies that they like to list off that makes them sound important. And I love The Godfather as much as the next guy. But Desert Island Top 5, I'm going to take High Fidelity. I'm going to take Major League. Probably take Dog Day Afternoon. Films like that.
What if, could I name you my really artsy films and then you'll credit me for being artsy?
Yeah, go for it.
No. Freddy Got Fingered is in my top 5 of all time. Citizen Kane,
yeah,
close second.
It's a good one.
I like High Noon a lot. You like High Noon?
I love High Noon.
See, I like Gary High Noon. Cooper. It's one of the few films that is shot in real time, or it's real
close
time.
To it. Yep.
That's brilliant. Why doesn't anyone do that? Explain the entire film industry to me really quickly.
Well, because it's really gimmicky and it's really, really hard to do.
But... Every time, even if it fails, it's relatively interesting.
No, it's not. And you have to consider that a screenwriter has no position of power in Hollywood. So he could come up with an idea where everything is going to be in real time. But his germ of idea, once he sells it, it's not his anymore. And that's probably going to go away.
Do you find that films are better if it's the same writer and director?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, God, yes.
Why do you like High Fidelity so much?
Well, also, you know, sort of spawned our show, the top five list.
Yeah.
I love
it. But, I mean, come on. That's been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I just sort of love High Fidelity because I think I have been Rob Gordon for the past 10 years.
Do you still think you're Rob Gordon?
Yeah, unfortunately. Most of my ex-girlfriends would attest to that.
I'm really glad that you said the word unfortunately before you started that sentence.
No, no, no. Look, these are miserable people. They're not good people.
But it's self-imposed misery.
Yeah, of course. What do you think? What do you think New York is all about?
That's why I don't live there. That's why I don't want... Me and Woody Allen are not going to get along.
No, exactly. But it's fun to watch.
Somewhat. In very small doses. I'm not a big Woody Allen fan. Does that make me the devil in film critics' eyes?
Kind of.
I know.
Yeah. Which Adam, you know, my co-host, he would be berating you right now.
Yeah, I berate myself, though, so it's okay. Like Woody Allen.
There you go.
I'm not as neurotic.
You don't like seeing yourself on screen.
That's no, I don't. It's yeah. awful. Mm-hmm. I don't like seeing any part of me. Mm. Nope, it's bad. No mirrors in my house, just a lot of ill-fitting suits. What's the goal for film spotting?
I guess.
Do you consider yourself a critic, actually?
Yeah. Why not?
Well,
I get paid.
You get paid,
to talk
hopefully.
About films. Yeah.
But you don't seem mean or judgmental.
Have you listened to me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never going
to
be mean.
You stick by your views, but you're not mean to be mean. You don't name films just because they're relatively successful.
That's not what we do. That's not what we do. I mean,
but a lot of critics do that.
Of course they do, because it's not real criticism. It's what passes for criticism. Now, real criticism is actually saying what you have to say constructively to help people. It's not about coming up with a funny, really snarky line that's going to, you know, get you some play. That's not what it's about. I want a film to succeed. That's from my gut, and when it doesn't, I'm going to tell you honestly what I feel. Something even like Twilight Eclipse, I want a film like that to succeed because I know that there are millions of people out there that love the books, that love this franchise. Then do something with it. You owe it to these people. Mm-hmm. Do something interesting with it, and do something filmically with it. And I think that's what's getting lost now, is the actual art of film and people that actually care about it as a medium. Now it's just so more much about product placement and franchising and these tentpole productions and Iron Man 2 and the cross-marketing and all that stuff.
Okay, but Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
That's a franchise. That's Pixar. Everything Pixar does is great.
It's an exception that really proves the rule. Pixar, I think, is probably the best studio over the last 10 years.
So we could come to an agreement.
Yeah.
What do you like more? Is it weird to be doing this in front of people?
Oh, God. I love an audience. I love a big room. Oh, this is not a big room.
Thanks a lot. Theater of the mind. Where do you prefer to see films in Chicago? What's your favorite theater?
I love the Music Box. I like the Landmark Century.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I love their curation, but in terms of an actual theater, it's just sad to me.
You know what I love about the Landmark, and it sort of reaffirms my faith in film, is that I can go on a Tuesday night to some foreign film, and you know what? It's 60% to capacity. Like, people are still
unlike the
going,
Music Box.
Unfortunately. Yeah, unfortunately.
What's a film that you think everyone should see that most people don't know about?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. The Friends of Eddie Coyle, great 1972 gangster film with Robert Mitchum and Peter Boyle. It kind of got overshadowed by The Godfather. Just a terrific film. Le Samurai with Alain Delon, great French film from the 1960s. The Killing of a Chinese Bookie. I'm a 70s guy. I'm a new Hollywood guy. Killing of a Chinese Bookie. Great film. Ben.
Do you think that was ever set in a bar and a microphone and then someone clapped?
I love it. Only at the Hungry Brain.
That
come
was
on
brilliant.
Down. What do we have on tap?
Oh, we got lots specials? Of good. Yeah, everything on tap's $4.
$4.
That's a lot of high alcohol content. Yeah. Pabst is $2.50. Don't drink Pabst, though. Let's tip our bartenders and be good human beings. That's true.
Yeah.
Do you like to drink alcohol?
No comment.
That's good. You're a true actor. Why did you go to school for acting?
God. Because I wanted to be an actor, and this is the most sobering thing. Unfortunately, I'll never be sober. My friend, Louis, I'm having him on the show tomorrow night. He is the star of the new film Predators on Friday, and... I remember, he's going to have an action figure about a cast for him. And, like, I'm glad my friends that I went to pretend school with actually attained that success because...
Where would pretend school?
Brown University.
That's a pretty expensive pretend school, sir. That's a good school.
It's an expensive pretend school.
Yeah.
But I love when my friends get success because I think the blackmail will be so much sweeter because I've got so many pictures of Louis.
Yeah, but you could hook up, like, so many of your friends with tote bags.
Yeah.
And mugs.
Totes and Live at Red Rocks CDs. Yeah.
What's your favorite Live at Red Rocks concert
Tesh.
Film?
Tesh.
Easily. Tesh seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Let's end this interview like we had never interviewed with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stack, PhD. This is an awful book.
Okay.
Please pick a number between 1 and 260.
137.
137. Why 137? What kind of deep film?
God, please. It's 9 o'clock on a Monday
night. I'm going to think of it like you've seen Clerks 100 times, and they use the number 37. Okay. If you could see into the future but not change it, would you want to do so?
Wait a second. Could I see into the future?
If you could see into the future but not change it, would you want to do so?
Unequivocally, no.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Well, let's plug some stuff.
Okay, ma'am.
Besides film spotting. Or should we just plug film spotting?
Let's just go with film spotting.
Okay, film spotting, I recommend it as a podcast. You can listen to it on BEZ and I'm sure stations across the country.
Saturday nights at 9 p.m., WBEZ 91.5 FM.
I like the podcast more because they do the after hours stuff, which is not on BEZ, correct?
Right.
That's the stuff that's great.
A little bit more blue, yeah.
Yeah, that's super insider baseball. Yeah. Sorry about that. We have gifts for you. Esmeralda, what gifts do we have for them?
Of course, the bottle of tequila.
That's for you.
A Cat in the Hat spoon noodler. I don't know if you saw that movie. It's just a plastic spoon. the Summer 2001 New Music Sampler, because you want to be up on the hits. And then A Series of Unfortunate Events, the book.
All right.
I hope it's better than the real movie.
Jim Carrey plays all three characters in that book, too. It's really annoying.
In the book?
Yeah, in the book.
He plays all
it's
three
really,
characters?
Really annoying. Listen to Film Spotting. If you have any interest in film, listen to it. If you don't have any interest in film and you like two gentlemen that are actually funny, talk about artsy stuff, and then you'll feel artsy and smart, listen to Film Spotting. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, man.
Matty Robinson, everybody, please clap.
Yeah,
Matty
thank
Robinson.
You.
All right, everybody, thanks for sticking around. The beautiful music of Jeremy Tromberg. Jeremy Tromberg is in this great band called The Ragtones. That episode with The Ragtones at You, Me, Them, Everybody Live just went up on our website. I highly recommend it. It's really pretty. It's surprisingly pretty. They're a garage
rock
band.
Oh, the music was, yeah.
And the band. The band's really pretty, too. Coming to the stage, we have one of the funniest females, funniest people in the city of Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, Tia Ayers, everybody. Tia Ayers. Almost as smooth as I'd like. You can come out into the
front.
Yeah,
I will. Thank you. I'm just trying to get comfortable.
Yeah, good luck with that.
This is a weird thing. I feel like they're going to be making faces at everything I say. And so I'll think I'm doing really well, but it's just them going like... And then you'll be like... Because that happens a lot. People on, you ever see people on stage do something, but you're really laughing at something they don't see on stage, and then you think that they think, and then they get delusional. Okay, I wish I was a schizophrenic, because then at least I have someone else to talk to. I'm so sick of looking in the mirror and just being like, you're an idiot. Yeah, you're an idiot too. Like, there's no other perspective at all. And I was telling this to my boyfriend, and I think he got a little offended by it, and I don't know why. I don't know why that would be offensive at all. And I was like, well, I think I'm going to watch A Beautiful Mind, because then, you know, John Nash understands me. And he was like, I don't think that's a good idea. And I was like, why? That's ridiculous. Like, you think that's going to drive me over the edge watching a Russell Crowe film that's going to, like, about a schizophrenic is going to make... That's not how schizophrenia works, honey. And he's like, I just don't like Russell Crowe. I've told you that. I don't like Gladiator. I don't like LA Confidential. I hate Russell Crowe. I was like, oh, I should probably listen more. Unfortunately, I'm just too busy looking in a mirror and talking all the time. I was buying batteries recently. You guys do that? Never? Yes, someone relates. I buy batteries sometimes. Not all the time. I'm not one of those crazy people that every time I go to a store, I have to buy batteries. Like, you know, buying Catcher in the Rye. But... I was buying batteries this one time, and Domingo, the old Filipino guy that works there, was like, ho, 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 Tia, you're buying batteries, ho, ho, ho. I was like, yeah, for my digital camera. And he's like, ho, 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 you're a lonely girl, I know the truth. I was like, what? So I was not going to let him one-up me, so I was like, yep, that's right, I'm buying batteries for my vibrator. He's like, you can't say that, ho, 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 this is a family establishment. I was like, dude, relax, I don't have a vibrator. I just like to stuff batteries at my pussy. I want to be a robot. That is the closest I can get to it. It's not sexual, it's emotional. I can't, like, as evidenced by talking to my boyfriend and realizing that we've been dating for 2 years and I just now found out about his hatred for Russell Crowe. I tried to be happy once. I went just one time. You guys should just try it once. Well, maybe it'll be better than my experience. I went to a psychiatrist. She put me on Prozac. And I went around the world for like 2 days like, yay, this is what life is. This is awesome. And then I started breaking out into a rash all over my arm. And I was like, damn it, am I allergic to Prozac? Of course, I must be. So I called my doctor and I told her my symptoms. And she was like, no, Tia, you're not allergic to Prozac. You're allergic to happiness. I was like, but I really like being happy. What if I just keep taking Prozac? And she's like, well, eventually it'll get into your bloodstream and you'll die. And I actually, like, was really comforted by this because I thought if I ever want to kill myself, all I have to do is get really successful at something I enjoy doing. So I'm halfway there, guys. Keep laughing. It's a weird dichotomy. It's like as soon as I become happy, then I can kill myself. So I plan on never being happy. That's like my deterrent. I don't know. It's sad. It's a sad life. Are you playing a game? Oh, no, you're just counting down my life. Okay, how many more minutes do I have in my life? I got a long life ahead of me. Keep going, Tia. Keep living. You can do it. I'm not cool, and I'm not, like, ever going to be cool. I realized I peaked when I was, like, 4 years old because I was friends with, like, lots of cool adults. And I would just be, like, sitting there, like, on the ground, like, my mind never stops. And they'd be like, I know totally what you mean, wise one. Keep talking. And so I, like, found comfort in these people. This is my family, like, all these degenerate old musicians from, like, that had been in San Francisco, like, Haight Ashbury, but didn't join, like, Jefferson Airplane and Big Brother and Holding Company. And then they all died when I was like 10, and then I've never been able to make friends since then. Not all of them, but several. The ones that were really close to me died. And so now I realize if I want to continue to have friends, I'm going to have to like go to the younger generation. And I've never been cool with younger people, but I decided I had to try. So I went to the mall and I looked for like the coolest group of 17-year-old girls I could find. And they were there. Went to the right place. So I walked up to them and I was like, hey, you guys want to hang out? And they were like, why would we hang out with you? And I was like, I can buy you beer. They're like, so can our boyfriends. And I was like, you guys have boyfriends? Oh my God, you're so much cooler than I thought. Do they have friends? They have older friends? Maybe somebody I could go out with? What, you're going into Forever 21? I'm 31. I can't go into Forever 21. You should buy that top, though. That top's really, no, you're not, okay. Do you need money? I can buy it for you. You're calling security? Bye. That's how I leave security. I wasn't carted off. Obviously, security, they don't answer that fast. I just pretend that I have one hand. What is that called? Handcuff. One handkerchief. It's a one-handed handkerchief. It's a bracelet, and they're available at Forever 21. Buy them. They sponsor my comedy. Do you guys have jobs here? Or is this a college audience? This is a high school audience? Is this a working audience right now? Okay. Well, I don't work. I don't know how to. I used to, and every time I have a job, I hate it. And like the last job I had, I realized I could never work again because it was a job I hated so much. I was thinking about calling in raped. And then I remembered we only get 5 rape days a year. And I had used all of them, like in January. That is a shitty company that only gives you 5 rape days, though. Because it makes the 6th one feel like it's my fault. I call them up, I'm like, I'm sick. They're like, you were raped, get in here. Fuck. There's only so many copies you can make. Tia Ayers.
Tia Ayers, everybody, Tia Ayers, sit down, please.
And now I sit down, and we talk about that.
See, I don't know if I should start.
Do I continue to hold this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if we should start with the 6 things I learned from Men's Health, and maybe that's why the rape days come into play, so I won't do that. You're not from Chicago. Where are you from?
I'm from California.
Why did you move to Chicago?
Oh, God.
What kind of death wish do you have? I mean, I'm from here. I love it.
How many people here are from Chicago?
At least half the place.
And how many people here are not from Chicago?
All right.
Why did they move here is what I want to know.
Encased meats.
Encased meats?
Yes.
Then let's just say that's
okay, that's good.
I don't know. It's a long thing. I could maybe write a set about it someday.
Maybe. Future sets.
I just wanted to not be in California for a couple of years. Everybody, okay, do you guys hate California? Everybody here pretty much has their opinion of Los Angeles and what it is, right? And it's like supposed to be this shitty place and everybody sucks. And so,
well, is that true?
No, it's
that's
not
good.
True.
That's good.
But going away from it made me realize that.
Yeah. Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Exactly.
That's a boring lesson. Okay.
Thank
where's
you.
Where's your favorite place to buy batteries?
Well, it's a place in Los Angeles called Long's Drugs,
that's
which
nice.
Is now CVS.
So CVS.
Domingo's a real guy.
That's nice.
He kind of doesn't do that.
Did you tell him the joke or tell him the real life experience?
Did I tell him the
yeah,
real
life? Yeah, did you reiterate this? I'll use this, sir. You'll be famous.
Yes.
Good. Did you buy your guitar at Guitar Center?
Yes.
What did you think of Guitar Center?
They were very nice.
We've had different experiences at Guitar Center.
I bought it at the one on Sunset Boulevard.
Did you really? Oh, that's a nice stereotypical
with the
story.
Guitar. Well, it's not actually mine. It's my ex-husband's. I just took it.
Ooh. Let's not talk about that because I'm going to get real dirty.
You don't? Okay.
Do you want to?
I don't care. Whatever you want to talk about. I have a question for you, though.
Please.
Do people ask you a lot of time about the climate and stuff? Like, do you think that by having your last name that
yeah.
you've been asked about
my
the
last
weather?
Name is Weatherby.
So because that people think you know the weather?
Yeah.
All the time?
All of grade school.
Really?
What's the weather of the bees for the first 8 years? And then, thanks for making it rainy, punch. Thanks for making it hot, punch. Yep, and then I just verbally abuse people until they have disorders, and I'm fine with it.
Oh.
Got a lot of negativity in me. What, you want to talk
did
about your
we,
divorce?
Did we did we go to grade school together? We can talk about my divorce, sure.
No, I like
Legal
you.
Zoom.
I don't want to do that.
Why?
I don't know.
If you like me, then why wouldn't you want to talk about me?
Cheap laughs.
Oh, there's plenty there.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to come over to my apartment. I have a girlfriend not hitting on you. Don't worry. And we're going to record a long episode of the talk show, and we'll get super deep. We're going to have real talk. Is that okay with you?
Okay,
not right now.
Right now, we're going to have fake talk.
We're going to have fake talk. No, we're going to close the interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions, and you're going to plug all the places people should see you.
Oh, God. Okay.
You seem nervous for answering a question from a kid's book.
Oh, no. I was nervous about all the places you can see me.
Well, where do you... Okay, I'll take that... Ooh, I see the innuendo now. It took a while. Okay, pick a number between 1 and...
I don't see it.
You don't read enough Men's Health. Pick a number between 1 and 260.
1 and 260?
1 and 260. I need to enunciate more clearly. It's getting bad.
A number between 1 and 2... Okay, 171. I hope that's the right one.
The answer's no, but we're going to do it anyways.
Okay.
Would you rather regularly wet your bed and have only your parents know about it, or never wet your bed, but... because of a story someone made up about you, have everyone think you did?
I would rather people think I wet my bed.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would just tell people I do all the time.
Yeah. Is that because you're liberated and knew a lot of cokeheads at 4 years old?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Do you think cokeheads should have 4-year-olds?
Sure.
Good. I do too. I think they're involved
they're
parents. Yeah. They're more awake.
They are awake when I'm awake.
They got a lot of opinions.
I got a lot of attention.
Because you have a lot of attention, we're going to give you some prizes. It's an audio podcast. She Oh, your mic's not on? Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
All right, your bottle of booze. A swim ring, because I thought maybe you should go out.
Is that like a birth control ring you
could
use?
The floaty, you know, one of those.
Oh, it's not rings. It's not a pool birth control thing.
No,
it's just like a thing.
If that was, I would take that.
You would take that
because it's free.
Do you like to swim?
I'd be giving free things. Oh,
you would take free birth control from someone you got on a stage. Sorry, I'm talking over you. Do you like your thing?
I love this.
And good. Then some summer reading. Frankenstein.
Frankenstopka.
To read
junior
in your swim ring.
These are all going to Junior, who doesn't know how to swim, likes to drink, and his name is Junior Frankenstopka.
Tia Ayers, where can people find you online, at least?
Online?
Anywhere. Or in person.
Okay.
Facebook?
No, don't go to Facebook. I have too many people I can't account for. I have a blog called lovelikearobot.com, how to make love like a robot. Is that
when you put batteries in your vagina?
Is that when I do that?
Yeah.
Through the internet. There's a live cam, but you just see my face. You don't actually see.
Is it emotionless?
It's a very emotionless face.
Are you a self-aware robot?
It's a very emotionless face as I stick them in, but you can't see any of that.
Because
it's about my mind, people.
This is good.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't it about our minds?
Okay, so go to the robot thing. Is that it, Tia?
LoveLikeARobot.com says where I'm going to be every moment of every day.
There you go. Tia Ayers, everybody. Tia Ayers. Stick around. We got Drew Michael coming up.
I'll take it.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking around. Once again, Jeremy Tromberg. We do this show quite a bit, and one of the things I want to change about my life and hopefully make your life better is I got to stop telling people to die. We're good. I got to stop telling people to die. I got to stop being so negative because I don't do it well. I saw Drew Michael a few weeks back, and he does it really well. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to bring to the stage Drew Michael, everybody. Drew Michael.
Thank you very much. What an intro, you know, I got a lot of things to shit on, I guess. Otherwise, you guys will be disappointed. I don't know, where are the women at? We got women here. Clap it up, women. Clap it up. I want to hear all the women clap right now. I want to hear all the men who want to have sex with these women clap. Yeah, there we go. I don't know, I like women. I love women. I really just love when women love me. That's really what it is. I don't really care. Like, I love being loved by a woman. It's the best feeling in the world. It makes you feel so good. And that's why it's hard to break up with a girl who loves you, because you're like, I want to break up with you. And they're like, okay, well, then I'm going to stop loving you. And you're like, oh, shit, no, don't do that. No, that's not what I meant. I want you to love me forever. I'm just not going to hang out with you anymore. That's the deal. I want you to keep sending me texts and emails all full of love so I have the confidence that I need to go pick up other women. That's what I need from you. That's what I need from you. I want you to love me forever. I just don't want to see you ever. It's called Friends with Benefits, but you love me and I never see you. That's what it's called. That's what I want. I do. That's what I want. When the girl loves you and you're with somebody, you have all this confidence, right? You're like, oh my God, this girl loves me. I'm so awesome, right? And people are attracted to you because you're so confident. And you're like, oh wait, I can get anybody I want. I don't need this girl. So you break up with her. The love goes away. Now the source is cut off and you're just this desperate lunatic running around like, oh shit, will somebody love me, please? Please, please, will you? Will you just going up to girls, love me, please, hold me, make me feel like I matter? Can you do that? Like, that's all single guys, except a lot of times when they say it, it comes out like, what's up, girl? Where'd you go to school? Or something like that. Like, you know, meet me. That's what they're saying. And then you go back, right? That's what happens. You go back to the girl that you were with because she loved you. You're like, all right, well, at least that's somebody I know who definitely loved me. So you try to go back, but sometimes they don't want you to go back. Sometimes they ignore you, right? And then you stalk them because you can't ignore me if I'm in your house, like, by your house. You can't, right? Like, it's the thing. Like, she won't pick up the phone. We'll go find her. She's somewhere. She didn't disappear because she's getting over you. Go to her house. It's where she sleeps. Oh, she's not awake? Well, fucking wait. She will be. All right, I did that. I did that to two different girls, actually, and which is a horrifying thing. I don't know if you realize. Because the first time, okay, I'm young, whatever, who cares? I don't know how to deal with this. Second time, it's like, oh, shit, this is what I do. Okay, that's bad. This could happen again. It's a part of me, you know? And I finally realized what Drew Peterson must have felt like when he killed his second wife. Right, because the first time he's like, whatever, crime of passion. And the second time it's like, oh, shit, I'm a murderer. Okay, I need to be in prison because I'm at risk to society. I don't know. I did not plan for it to go this way. I didn't. I thought it was going to go a lot better. Like when I was a kid, I would like dream and fantasize about like romantic situations and stuff. And I did. I never even thought I would have sex. I just thought I would make love with the girl of my dreams. That's how big of a fucking idiot I was. Like, I thought, and I would practice too. Like some guys maybe like made out with their pillow. I went down on my pillow like to get ready for that, to get ready for the generosity that I was prepared to give. I would do that. Guess what I thought it was going to be? And the way that it is now, my love life is so topsy-turvy. It's not... Like, I thought it was going to be, you know, fantasy sex with the girl of my dreams, not sex backstage at a show with a girl who has a restraining order against me. That was not the script that I wrote. It's also not the script that the judge wrote. I don't know if you realize, restraining order is intended to keep you 200 feet away from the person. And I had sex with her. You know how far away from her I was then? Negative 5.9 inches away. Depending on the weather, of course. That's what I thought it was going to be. And by the way, quick aside, for those of you who think makeup sex is hot, you've never had restraining order sex. Really makes makeup sex look like awkward prom sex, which I never had, of course, because I was too busy fingering my blanket. That's how I roll. No, come on. Such the most stupid thing to say. Yeah, I don't know. I'm bad at the whole... You know what? I'm really bad at like getting over breakups. Like, I can't... I don't know how to do it. Right? Like, you're supposed to just forget about them? Like, how? How do you forget about a person? Like, It's not an easy thing to do, and like a lot of guys like to cop to the line, like, I just want her to be happy, you know, I want her to find happiness, then you can get over her, because you're like, that's good, she's going to be happy. The only problem with that is it's horseshit. You don't want that. If you think you do, then you've never pictured what it looks like really vividly, because I feel like the second that you picture what the girl who broke your heart happy looks like, you're like, okay, that's not what I want, right? Picture it. Do it right now. We can do it an exercise. It'll be a fun game, right? Picture her with some other dude, right? And the dude looks like he walked out of the Axe Moose commercial, you know, like those weird fucking assholes. And they're like, you know, and she's like, you know, rubbing his feet or cutting him up fresh mango, whatever the fuck people do when they're happy. I don't even know. I'm certain it involves fruit, though, because that makes sense. And that foot rub leads to like a spontaneous blowjob. Now they're having sex on the couch. Picture that. Picture his penis, which is bigger than yours, going in and out of the vagina that you loved. You loved that, but you made out with that vagina. Now he's just fucking it relentlessly, and she loves it because she's happy, and girls can get off easier when they're happy, so she's going crazy, and they're doing weird shit like he's choking her or something she would never let you do, but now she's in love, and it's boundary-free love sex. Anything goes, and they're hanging from harnesses because they're experimenting. It's getting boring. Like, oh, God. Yeah, when you think about that feeling you get that makes you want to punch everybody, that's you not wanting that. That is you wishing she were dead so that shit can never happen. That's what I want. I want her happy. I want her dead. I want someone to kill her and then show me her severed head so I could know that that nightmare would never become a reality. Then I would take her head. I would hang it above my bed with all of my other ex-girlfriends' heads on this weird mobile of poetic justice. That way, if I'm ever asleep having a nightmare, one of them with somebody else, I wake up and like ducks over a baby's cradle. The first thing I would see is their comforting heads twirling, and I could say, oh, thank God. I thought something really bad was happening. Luckily, trinkets on the ceiling. I don't know. I'm into women. Like, I really love women. I do. I wish I didn't. It sucks. It's a chemical. It's a mental illness being attracted to women. It really is. Like, finding them. It sucks. Because, like, I wish I weren't. Like, I wish I could find men sexy. Oh, my God. That'd be fucking awesome. If I believe is the word. I wish I were gay. I really do. Like, I want to be gay. Like, I want to find guys fuckable, but I don't. And I think all the guys here wish they were gay. If you're not already, we're in a really hip bar. But, like, I think you do, because if... Okay, I can do a quick test here. If you're a guy and you want to have sex tonight, clap. Just clap right now. If you're a guy and you want to have sex, just clap. Okay, right, yeah, right. Okay, you realize if we were all gay, we could just pair up and make that happen. That's all we need to do. We need to take anybody on a date, just be like, oh, you, and then we fuck, and it would be really, really good. It's awesome. It's too hard to fuck a girl. I mean, it's not that hard, but it's harder to fuck a girl. Guys spend, like, thousands of dollars and read books on how to trick women into sleeping with them. There's no book on how to get a guy to fuck you. You know why? Because it would be one page. It would just say, ask them. Like, that would be the whole thing. Just go up to them. Do you want to? That's why I hate when people say being gay is a choice. Like, they always say it's a lifestyle choice people make. Being gay is a choice. They're making a lifestyle choice. It's not a choice. If being gay were a choice, I would have chosen it years ago. First time I talked to a girl, I was all like, ah! I'd be like, oh, the hell with this. I'm going to have sex with Jeremy. You know why? We play video games together. We have a rapport. He's like my best friend. I'm fucking picking him. It would be awesome. You go to the gay pride parade. You go to that shit last week. It's amazing. The run around in costumes. It's not like weird gay subculture. That's how happy people are when sex is that easy to come by. Yeah! Run around, play flutes and stuff. Like, when was the last time you saw a married straight dude dressed up like a lion with a rainbow-colored cape on running around screaming, I love my wife! Never. That's going to do it for me, everybody. My name is Drew Michael.
Drew Michael, everybody. Thank you very Drew much. Michael. I don't know where the line between art and, like, comedy art and realism comedy comes into play, because I sadly understand 90% of what you're saying. Like, it makes complete rational sense to me, which is frightening, because now you're looking at me like I'm the crazy one.
Well, I think it's cool to find that inside yourself when it's like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's not outside. Like, I'm on a stage telling people, and I'm agreeing with you, and you're
But I mean, like, from within, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I've always known that. I've never wanted to see an ex-girlfriend happy until recently. It's great.
What happened?
They all got married and fat and had kids. And to them, that's happy. I'm using air quotes for those in the room.
Well, to most people, that's happy.
Yeah, 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 but it's dumb as shit. It's great.
I feel. How am I supposed to sit, by the way? I've never been
on
a talk show.
Like, there's no wrong way. Like, well, there's a lot of wrong ways.
Is this how cool people sit?
I
feel like cool people don't worry about how they sit. That's really what it is.
Yeah, but if you think of, like, a lot of
cool people just sit and they're like, I'm sitting, and that's all.
Yeah,
they think.
But the cool people usually, another air quotes, they're usually like sitting on the floor cross-legged. But those are actually assholes.
Indian style?
Indian style, whatever. Fucking
assholes, those are usually four-year-olds. Like, who sits Indian style?
Four-year-olds are demanding, they need naps, they're crabby as shit. Hipsters
are
crabby,
right.
They need naps, and they dress
ill. I hate them all.
They dress inappropriately.
They shop
at the children's section of the Gap. That's, not even the Gap, like the resale
appalling.
Gap.
They're all disgusting things, and they should all... They are. Kids are the worst things about the world. That means they're potential people.
That's...
Who the fuck wants that?
Why would I go to the Cubs farm system? I'll just go to Wrigley. It's better. It's down the street. The beer's better.
Well, no, I don't want more people, so those are going to turn into people. I don't want them.
Where do you want to live? Do you want to live in the mountains?
I don't know. I often wish I were the moon. Like, I don't know if that answers your question.
That's a Nico Case song lyric.
Like, I see the moon, I'm like, can I just be that?
All right, that doesn't make any sense. So that's why we're going to end this interview with a question.
Wait a minute,
from...
Hold on, that makes perfect sense.
No, really? You're talking abstractly about a star.
It's one of those things that you're like, I didn't think I would agree with, but now you do.
Nope, that doesn't make any sense. Right. Murdering makes sense. This, not at all.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to close this interview. You want to come on my show? We'll have a real sit-down?
I would love that.
We're going to do that. That's a reason to tune in. He's really funny. We're going to plug your shit soon.
Cool.
Kids Book of Questions, Gregory Stack, PhD. Awful, awful book. Pick a number, 1 to 260.
259.
259. Make believe that right now you have to pick the job you will have as an adult. What is the best job you can think of? What is the worst?
Well, I think I already answered that question with the moon.
Okay. I take it all back. That was brilliant.
Can I plug some shit?
No, worst job.
Oh, the worst job?
I guess the sun.
Yeah, anything that isn't the moon, I guess.
Yeah. All right.
Lava. I don't know.
That's a lot. Like, yeah, like how, whatever.
It's shitty. Everyone hates you.
We could go on for hours. We should stop. Comedians You Should Know.
Comedians You Should Know. Yeah, go to comediansyoushouldknow.com. We run shows every Wednesday at Timothy O'Toole's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Timothy O'Toole's usually awful bar. When they're doing
it's kind of shitty, but
awesome bar. Not a joke. It's in this awful area.
Back room,
it's super
yeah.
touristy, but it's true. But it's right off the Chicago bus, which is great. It's easy to get home to. These guys are really, really, really funny. It's a professional looking room. You'll bring your touristy friends there. They'll like it. You'll like it. Is that good?
Sure.
All right, good. Anything else?
You can find me on Facebook, Drew Michael Comedy, or just search Drew Michael and look for my face.
Good.
And match it up.
Speaking of your face, Esmeralda has some prizes for you.
Cool.
Or gifts.
Here's your booze. And then I don't know if this is good or bad, because you have such curly hair. You get a hair styler.
Oh,
that's
great.
What it says
it's
on the
pick.
Label.
You get an Afro pick.
Or it's an
I don't
Afro
have a
pick.
Yeah, that's perfect. I actually need one.
And a 45 of Johnny Rodriguez, Hard Times.
Thank you so much for shit I would never, ever get.
And you need it all.
On my own.
Ladies and gentlemen, go check out Drew Michael. Please do not leave. We have the Sanctified Grumblers coming up next. Thanks for sticking around. Let's all drink and enjoy the music. Jeremy Tromberg, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for sticking around, especially you, Junior Stopka. You have the most delightful hair in the world. Junior, acknowledge me right now, please. There it is, everybody. Junior Stopka. Sitting on the stage, two of the members of Sanctified Grummers, we have Eric and Rick. Say hello, everybody.
Hello. Is this working?
Hey now.
Why are you in a band? Why should people care? I like the music. Sell it. Let's get real businessy. No? You're not having that?
Do you
like playing?
Yes.
It's a condition I have, and I have to fulfill it.
You guys play every Tuesday night at the Hideout.
This is the truth.
Okay. How is that? Why do you play every single week? Most bands don't play every single week.
Well, we like to... if we don't play every single week, we'll forget.
You'll forget how to play music.
No.
Do you have any long-term memory?
No.
How's your short-term memory?
No.
Is every day very exciting for you? Do you
yes.
have instructions like the film 51st Dates? Or is that the wrong movie? Is that the wrong Adam Sandler movie? I think it's the wrong Adam Sandler movie.
Where's that list you guys are reading? Eh?
Yeah. We got lots of lists. How long do you want to do this for? Because you guys seem to be actual musicians. This is not a temporary thing. This is life.
True.
This is what you do.
Yes.
Would you consider yourselves musicians? Because I would.
I tell my wife I am.
What does she think of that?
She's cool.
Oh, that's nice. So you have a healthy marriage and a musician.
I don't know if it's a healthy marriage. But
all right, that's a better answer.
Hallelujah.
How, you guys are playing the big Folk and Roots Festival, correct?
Yes.
Yes?
July 11th.
July 11th. It's this Sunday.
Sunday.
This Sunday, down the street at a beautiful park, every Tuesday night at the Hideout. Where else can people see you? You guys have play a lot of street fests?
We got another one this weekend at Logan on Saturday.
So you're playing a Logan Outdoor Fest Saturday.
Yeah. We're getting hit hard this weekend. You get it while you can when you're a musician.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's right. You guys are great. You're going to treat everyone to a set. We're going to close this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions.
Oh, my God.
Pick a number, gentlemen, 1 to 260.
Between 1 and 260?
Yes, not all of them, just one.
Okay, how about 239?
239. I like that you thought about that more than any of the other questions. Thank you, sir. If you had a lot of money and could use it in any way you wanted, what would you do with it? Really?
I'm thinking real hard.
Really? Okay.
Kill Sarah Palin.
Why would you kill Sarah Palin? Why?
So she doesn't become president.
Oh, that makes sense, actually. You know what? Just for saying that, you just won my pin. Welcome to America pin. There you go. That'll fit on your overalls.
I will. It'll
By
look
the way, good,
good
overalls. They look good on you. What does your wife think of them?
Yeah, I don't know.
You should really find that out before you start
wearing
overalls.
I do the laundry.
Overalls. Yeah, overalls is not... That's a domestic decision.
Hey.
Eric, what would you do with the money? Would you also kill?
No, I'd probably buy like a truckload of overalls or something like that.
A truckload?
Yeah, like a semi.
I think we're hitting our peak right now. Let's close it while we're on top. We're going to set up the Sanctified Grumblers. Grumblers. Yes, that's the name of the band.
Sanctified Grumblers.
Sanctified Grumblers. Say the A part high, long, so you can remember the second part. Sanctified Grumblers.
I like you guys. You make me feel safe, and it makes me want to drink more beer.
Thank you, Brandon.
With that in mind, you're going to set up. Jeremy's going to play some music. We're going to stick around. We'll be right back, I guess. Jeremy, there we go. All right. Is everybody ready? Without Jeremy Trommer. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Without further ado, please put your hands together for the Sanctified Grumblers.
We'll be right back.
These things are twice as messed up as they were before.
Yeah.
So a tune I wrote called Gary Went to New Orleans. So got some New Orleans grooves in it, a little bit of ragtime. Let's get the washboard playing of Rick Cook and Sherry.
Rick Cook and Sherry.
Cooker Man.
The Cooker Man. Why do I deserve this introduction?
The Hungry Brain. You're in my living room, man. I made it over. I still got air conditioning. They didn't turn it off yet. It's cool.
Yeah. Alright, here we go. One, two, three, four.
Don't you dare touch her, you know she don't belong to you. live over at Logan Square, you see, and one day I couldn't drive down Fullerton Avenue, and let me tell you why.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, clap for the Second Fat Grumblers. Every Tuesday night at the Hideout. You want to plug something, buddy? You were looking at me like, I got to plug something. No?
You did it, man.
That mic's off, buddy. I read all the people's minds. Hey, that was fun. Did you guys have fun?
Yes.
Good. That's all that matters. All right. Now is the time when we thank people. Obviously, we'd like to thank the Sanctified Grumblers. Do you have any albums for sale right now?
No, we got no records yet.
No records yet.
So, record, record, so.
That's a good reason to go see them every Tuesday night at the Hideout. We'd like to thank...
We don't believe in them goddamn records, man.
Well, no one believes in goddamn records, and that's kind of the problem, sir. I'd like to thank Drew Michael. That was very funny and mean to women, which made me laugh. I'd like to thank Tia Ayers, which was also mean to women, but ironic, because she is a woman, and that was very funny. I'd like to thank Maddie Robinson from the wonderful radio show and podcast Film Spotting. That was great. Obviously, Esmeralda, Kevin McGuire for doing the poster and all that wonderful stuff. I'd like to thank Aaliyah, and I'd like to thank Jennifer. They're very nice people. I'd like to thank all of you. Thank you. You made this not awful, and that means a lot. We usually play Bozo Buckets during the show. It's kind of weird. Now we're going to play it with everybody that wants to play Bozo Buckets. We're going to set up the buckets. We're going to give away the prizes.
Yeah.
This is incentive for the listener at home to come to the Hungry Brain to see the next live show so you can win a prize, like a little bottle of tequila or something else. Thanks for showing up. Have a wonderful evening.
It's you I like.
Why don't you thank me?
Did I not? Hold on. Oh, yeah, Jeremy, too. Thanks, Jeremy. The Ragtones, everybody. The Ragtones.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.